Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by this morning. We have some really important things to talk about today. Yesterday's show, when we talked about bullying and we talked about Adam Lanza and his father Peter and all the comments made about Adam's diagnosis or lack thereof through his earlier years and what he ended up doing. He was the young man who killed all those children at Sandy Hook Elementary. And the dad did a couple of different shows on different medias, and he said he was afraid of him, and he said that he had been diagnosed with autism, but he believes now that it was more schizophrenic problems, which is a true mental illness as compared to autism or even Asperger's. We've had a couple shows on both of those things and, of course, a whole week on mental illness. And the more we talk, the more we realize that these are big issues, and these are troublesome issues for the families and the parents because there's so much out there and it gets confusing. It's like when someone in your family is diagnosed with cancer. There's a million places to go for suggestions. Not really answers. Let's make that clear. Not really answers, because nobody promises you anything. But they do give you suggestions. However, these issues really can snowball into a really, really troublesome life for all of you, for the whole family. However, Monica and Shelley have been working this week. I think Monica has already helped a family member with an adult child who struggles and has some of these challenges, and some of their lifestyle changes are what has really made the difference. And if we haven't learned anything, we've learned that obviously anything we put in our mouth, anything we put on our skin, and any kind of issues that we have going on in our life, have a lot to do with our health. However, autism and Asperger's are bona fide issues. And I believe that food allergies, a lot of the things that we ingest, compromise our bodies and our ability to maintain the way we're supposed to be, our physical strength, our physical health, and our mental well-being. So I'm going to open up the lines. I first would like to say, on a whole other note, for those of you who have been keeping track again of my great-grandson, he was diagnosed at the end of last week with spinal meningitis, bacterial spinal meningitis. And as of my visit with him yesterday, he is, I'm going to say, from 2 days before, 200% better. He's still pretty cranky. He still feels pretty miserable. But all in all, he is doing much better. Of course, now we have to work on he's still on heavy, heavy duty antibiotics, but now we have to, when the time is right, work on cleansing him of all the antibiotics. So we will probably be doing a show in regard to how to kind of cleanse your body, your bloodstream. Antibiotics have as many side effects as anything else out there that kills germs and bacteria. So I want to thank you all for your prayers. He was a much happier baby last night, even played peekaboo and could lift both arms. And when he fell asleep on my lap, both little fat legs just relax totally. Those are all wonderful signs. So thanks, everybody. So I'm going to open up the girls. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Renee. How are you?
I'm good, sweetie. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm going to open up Shell. Good morning, Shell.
Well, good morning, Renee. Good morning, Monica.
How are you?
Good morning.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I found out some surprising stuff during my research, so I'm glad that we are embarking into this particular arena now.
Well, I think it's one that we've certainly discussed, and I think it is more and more every day becoming as we're prone to do in this world, it's becoming a very popular diagnosis, and someday we'll question the integrity of this diagnosis. Not that I don't believe in it, not that I don't think that it really exists, because I certainly do. I just feel like we get into this mold of diagnosis. 20 years ago, every kid that started coughing had asthma. And I was like, how do you know they've got asthma? Well, listen to him. Listen to his lungs. And I'm like, how do you know he doesn't just have bronchitis? So we get kind of carried away with the diagnosis. We have a couple things that come up that are repetitious, and immediately it's this. So
right.
I think misdiagnosis is sometimes a factor,
right.
just like Peter Lanza said yesterday. He felt that his son's illness went much deeper than autism or Asperger's.
The interesting thing about the misdiagnoses is that in some cases, such as with mental retardation, there are forms of mental retardation that are now diagnosed as autism. Mental retardation is a permanent brain dysfunction. I mean, it's a congenital brain disorder, like being born without a hand. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. But there are certain aspects of autism that are reversible, that are onset. In other words, the child is healthy when they're born, and then a couple years down the road, sometimes linked to vaccines, sometimes not. It's not always linked to vaccines, but sometimes the onset is after a certain vaccine titer. And those particular onset symptoms, a lot of the articles I'm reading are reversible. So that's why I was surprised that some of this is out there and it's not more well known. But
mm-hmm.
it's all homeopathic and natural and holistic, and that's probably why it's not as prevalent.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller that's in a 509 area code that would like to speak. Monica, is it possible that this is your cousin?
No, it's...
No, I don't think so. No. She couldn't make it this morning.
It's my friend.
Okay. Oh, okay, at a 509 area code. I'm gonna invite her in. Good morning. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart.
Hi, Renee. This is Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne. How are you?
I'm doing good. Excuse me. I'm driving.
Thank you for joining us. That's why a lot of people listen on their way to work or to drop the kids to school, all those different kind of things. So I'm glad you joined us. You're a friend of Shelley's?
I am a friend of Shelley's. I work with her sister. And like always, I talk about my son and our experience. And Nina introduced me to Shelley, and here I am.
Well, good. Well, thanks for joining us. So, ladies, how do you feel about perhaps hearing a couple of concerns from a mom who has how old is your child? Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy, Wesley. He is 12.
Okay.
He was diagnosed when he was 2.5, and he was severely autistic. They wanted me to put him in a home. It's extremely violent.
Oh, boy.
However, after 4 years of 40 hours a week one-on-one therapy, and I did it all natural, he is considered symptom-free. However, now that he's going through puberty, some different issues are coming up, and everything to him is black and white. You know, it's right or wrong. and the gray areas have always been an issue with him. And he's been bullied this last year. He started middle school. So I worry about him a lot.
Well, I think all of us are there with you. I'm sorry for the behavior of others. I always feel the need to be able to say that to people. I am really sorry for the behavior of others. If I could go around with a magic wand and smack everybody on top of the head like Gibbs does on NCIS every time they do something that I think, what are you thinking? I would do that all day long. So
yep.
I apologize for the behavior of others. Do you have some questions that you think would be beneficial for the rest of the world to hear in case my girls here have got some answers?
Well, I guess my where he's really – I've kind of figured out exactly where he is having issues at. And right now he is having a hard time. He's really ingenious the way his mind works. So he's
mm-hmm.
having a lot of problems in one of his classes. Getting A's and B's and everything else, but one class, he lectures. And when he intakes information, like a lecture, he intakes everything. And then his mind starts going, and he is like four or five subjects ahead, and just he cannot hone in on that one subject that she is talking about. And so we're having issues with, like I said, that class. He can't concentrate on just what she's saying. He's concentrating on what she's saying, and then his mind starts working, and then he's thinking about all these different scenarios and all these different things that could have happened, and then he's totally lost track of what's going on in the class. And then he
mm-hmm.
starts socializing. So it's really, really hard. And then the other issue we're having right now is that he is very, very social. Everyone likes him. He's very popular, so he's having a hard time separating being social and being there in class and paying attention. And he thinks that being social is the most important thing right now. And I think that's a normal kid thing, but I'm not positive. So I guess I'm just, you know, all those feelings from when we were doing the therapy and it was autism, and I'm worried now because I don't know how to help them. I don't have my support group. I'm new to Florida within the last year, so it's a very scary situation I'm in right now, and I don't know how to help them the best I can. So that's where I'm at right now. And we do a lot of dieting.
Right. And I think that the girls can help you in regard to the lack of concentration and focus with some natural ideas. But let me say first, and I don't want to minimize your issues, but I know a lot of 12-year-olds who can't focus, and a lot of 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds who are in a place where social. One of my teenagers that is here with me, who's a grandchild, he's 16, and in middle school, every teacher would call his mom and I and say, look, we love him because he's friends with everybody. There isn't a kid in the middle school that doesn't know his first name, but he's failing every class. And he tells us he's sorry, and he, you know, he schmoozes everybody and gets out of trouble because he's such a socializer. So I do think part of that is kind of, a personality trait, and I don't think it's really a bad thing, but I certainly understand why you'd like to get it under control. And as I said, I know that food has a lot to do with our energy and our ability to stay on track. So which one of you ladies would like to address this first?
I actually came across some research specifically on that yesterday, and then I'd like to hear what Monica may be able to add to it. One of the websites I had checked out was called healthtap.com, and they had a page for natural remedies for violent autistic kids, And I found it interesting because Dr. Jeff Jacobs said that autism can make a child violent or aggressive. It doesn't always mean violence, but overly aggressive. But it usually doesn't happen with autism unless it's onset at a later date because of some intervening activity. And the activities that may trigger it are changes in routine, anxiety. If he's doing well in all the subjects except for one, obviously that's going to bring about anxiety because, like you said, with autistic and Asperger's, it sounds like he may even have a little bit of Asperger's because they're very black and white. They can be very, very high-functioning and intellectual. So some of his anxiety may be from not being able to handle that one class. But he says the triggers for this aggressiveness and sometimes violence are changes in routine, anxiety, pain, or being prevented from doing something that is a desired behavior for them. So when you're telling me that he wants to be more social now, this is definitely, he definitely has some anxiety triggers here, there's no doubt. Dr. Roy Bedarock talked about the best treatment for autism being individualized therapy, and it sounds to me like you've already done some of that. The individualized therapy includes behavioral therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and on another site, they even included music therapy and physiotherapy. So there's a lot of different types of therapies. I don't know, I didn't get to do my research and find out where these things are available in South Florida, but they said when you do a combination of therapeutic techniques, and some of them can be done at home, music therapy has been found to be very, very powerful with people with autism or Asperger's because it calms the brain. It slows it down enough for them to start making sense of the world. So music therapy has been proven to be very, very powerful. If he likes music of any type, if he likes a broad spectrum of music, you can actually utilize this to help him in moments where he may be getting agitated and things like that. So I found it very, very interesting.
Leslie, a few weeks ago, it's funny you mentioned that, he came to me and he goes, Mom, I love my music. When I have my music, it calms me. It helps me focus, and which is, he's very self-aware. We've always made sure that he knows what's going on, that he is, you know, he was born with autistic. He knows his whole story. But he loves his music, and that is one thing he'll go to help calm him down. And then also playing ball. He loves to exercise, play basketball, and he'll play for a half hour, an hour. And he's like, okay, Mom, I feel much better now. Now I can concentrate.
Well, you know, let me say about that, too. I think kids, all kids, whether they've got challenges or not, are incredibly adaptable. And I think a lot of times we do need to listen to them a little bit more. We have a tendency to think we know better, and sometimes that's not true. Monica, you've helped a family member a lot with the situation. How do you feel about what Shell just said?
Well, I can't really speak to the psychological and the social aspects of a kid with Asperger's or autism, but I have researched the physiological aspects, and most kids that had autism and Asperger's have gut issues, and all disease starts in the gut, and he's probably either constipated or has diarrhea, gut issues, bloating. What is his diet? What do you feed him?
He has reactions to phenol, so there are only certain fruits and vegetables that he can have. For instance, he can have a pear, but not a nectarine. He cannot eat any melon whatsoever. Eats bananas, purple grapes, but not green or the red ones. He does eat gluten. We were on gluten-free, and he had a accident where someone fed him gluten, and so we reintroduced gluten. Not too much, but he does have it occasionally. He doesn't have any dyes other than a little bit of, like if he has a popsicle, a lollipop, he can have a brown lollipop, but that's about it. No dyes. And if he has sugar, like a piece of candy or something like that, like a candy bar, it's the size of his pinky, and that's only occasionally. So we, and water, drink water, and that's all we drink, water. No juices, no soda pop. Occasionally he can have a Diet 7-Up, and that's like a big, huge treat for him. But other than that, where we're at with his diet. When I first started his diet, he was only allowed 8 different foods, and he detoxed for 3 years. So, but that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he eats no vegetables, he just eats fruit?
No, he eats vegetables. He only eats certain fruits. There are phenols in fruit that will cause him to have either be very depressed and sleepy, or they'll cause him to be very aggressive and angry. Watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
2-3 bites of watermelon. He is immediately aggressive. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. That's the way those things are with him.
Wow.
Never, ever what?
No dyes whatsoever. He's had the same lotion or shampoo, body wash. That is the same he's had since he was 2.5 years old. I don't change those up. And if I do change them up, we try it out. He's like, no, Mom, it doesn't make me feel good. My body is icky, so we'll go back to what he's been on, using since he was 2.5 years old.
And what is that?
It is a baby shampoo body wash combination.
What brand?
Johnson & Johnson.
Okay. That's got formaldehyde in it. Did you know that? Formaldehyde, highly toxic. The problem or the thing about kids with autism, or actually anybody, any food they eat, anything you put on their body that has any toxins whatsoever is going to go into the gut and irritate it. Serotonin is made in the gut and travels up to the brain. Serotonin is your calming, I don't even know what you call it, hormone, whatever it is, it calms you.
Yeah.
So any toxins you're putting on your body, like Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo, also has parabens in it, that's another toxin, is going to mess with your system. I thoroughly believe, and I refer to this article all the time, and this is what has helped me help my cousins, is the Weston A. Price Foundation Gut and Psychology Syndrome. It's a GAP diet. It's an article written by Natasha Campbell McBride. She's a doctor. And it talks all about autistic kids, Asperger kids, kids with ADHD, kids that do bedwetting until they're older, into their early teens. It all has to do with the gut. If you're feeding any processed foods whatsoever, those are toxic. What I did for my cousin's son was told him, if you do nothing other than what you're doing for your son, get him on some good probiotics. And they noticed a difference within a week. Now, my cousin's son is extremely autistic. he can't do anything for himself, or he couldn't. Now, after about 3 months of her changing his diet to the GAPS diet and giving him probiotics, plus there's other probiotics that she has incorporated because I told her to do this, which is fermented vegetables, bone broth, things like this. He has made a lot of changes. He can actually focus on them. He has. It was like one day they woke him up and he looked at them like it was the first time he has ever seen his parents. He actually focuses. He listens. Usually before they'd have to say something at least 10 times before he would respond. He can't speak, but they would say, point to the cup you want, point, point, point. They'd have to say it 10 times before he would do it. Now they say it one time. He can focus on what they're saying, and that's because they changed his diet and gave him probiotics. Also, he was extremely constipated, and that has helped in that regard also, which she's also really happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a matter of the gut. Plus,
well, you know, one of the sites that I read, Monica, talked about everything you said. One of the doctors is talking about that a lot of the issues with autism, Asperger's, and ADHD, relatively any brain dysfunction, but it affects these people more because they're more sensitive to different levels of how the brain is functioning. Highly, highly recommends probiotics and enzymes, both a good probiotic program and enzymatic program, and a diet elimination process of taking everything out of the diet that can affect brain function, such as MSG, aspartame. Now, Yvonne, you just mentioned that sometimes you'll give him diet 7-Up as a treat, and actually sugar, although sugar is not good for him, the aspartame in diet 7 is actually worse for him than the sugar would be, because aspartame actually attacks the brain. There's so many reports about that people that don't have autism or ADHD are affected by aspartame. So anything that brain function, you really want to steer clear of. So they talk not only about gut health, but about eliminating things from the diet that can actually that have already been shown in people without these disorders that can cause brain dysfunction.
Definitely.
Does all of this make sense to you, Yvonne?
It does. It actually does. And one of the things I've been contemplating is putting him back on all these different supplements that we used to have him on. And one of the things that I always ask about this is, well, how's your poop? Is it floating? Is it puffy? What's it like? Is it diarrhea? We have a lot of poop conversations. That'll tell you a lot about what's going on in the gut. And when he goes to, this is the first year I have no control over what he eats when he leaves for school.
Right.
So I have a feeling that there's a lot more going on than I'm aware of. And the schools will not monitor or will not keep him from eating different things that he shouldn't be eating. Number one, it's not an allergy. It's not life-threatening, so these are things that they won't. I can send him a lunch to school, but he'll eat whatever he can get his hands on. I'm trying to teach him that if he wants to take control over how he feels, he needs to start paying attention to what he's putting in his body.
Right, right.
So, and we went through a big, huge detox over Christmas break. I knew he was eating inappropriate things. I could just tell by looking at him. Dark circles under the eyes. He's kind of a haze when he looks at you, not really seeing you. And I took a lot of time off during Christmas break, and he detoxed. And it was like, okay, Wesley. One day he was like, Mom, I feel so much better. And I said, I feel like I have my Wesley back. And he goes, You're right. I know I shouldn't be doing these things. But he doesn't, and I think it has a lot to do with the age and the peer pressure and wanting to be like his friends and not to be different.
Yvonne, will Wesley read books? Does he ever read books?
Oh, we read all the time in the house.
Because it may be helpful to find a couple of books. I found a bunch of books. In fact, I'm going to talk about one in a moment. It might be helpful to have him read some of these books so that he can identify his symptoms with some of what we're talking about. And if he understands more thoroughly than just you saying, look, if you eat this, you're going to feel better. But if he reads a book on the subject and he understands what's happening in his body because he is intelligent, it may inspire him to stick with it. You know, he's not 6 years old. He's of an age now where this is going to start going into his decision-making. I know another boy who was diagnosed with Asperger's, and he actually went to the doctor with his aunt and uncle, and he understands exactly what he does that triggers certain things, so he modifies his own behavior because he understands now. You know, he's old enough now to start having these reactions he have go into the decision-making of what he does and doesn't do. And I think Wesley is of an age now where he can be taught how to monitor his own decisions so that he gets better results out of life.
That is a great idea, actually. I never thought about that. Because he's always researching different things. Mom, I have to start researching God. I have to start researching this, you know, the pyramids, all of this. So right now he's in this mode where he's researching and trying to figure out what his beliefs are. And I never even dawned on me to start throwing some autism things his way and start researching different things on that. So that's a wonderful idea, actually. My brain's going 100 miles an hour thinking about that.
Well, let me tell you guys real quick about this book, and then we'll go back to Monica. I hope I didn't interrupt you, Monica, but I was very impressed with this book I found. Dr. Pamela Pappas, in all the writings she had on her page about autism, highly recommends this book by Amy Lansky, PhD. Now, she's not a medical doctor, but she is a scientist.
I think probably because Yvonne is driving, we're getting some bad connections. Are you still there, Shell?
Here, Monica, do you have a way of muting your phone for a moment?
Do I have a way to what?
I don't think it's Monica. I think it's Yvonne because she's on the road.
Yeah.
I know. I said Monica by mistake. Yvonne, can you mute your phone for a moment?
Yeah. Just a second.
Okay. Okay, much better.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me clearly now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll bring you back in a minute, Yvonne, but when you're not talking, we hear a little bit of interference from your car. So at any rate, what I was saying is this woman, Amy Lansky, PhD, she's not a medical doctor, but she's highly accredited. She's a scientist at NASA. She grew up in Buffalo, New York. After many years in the Silicon Valley research, she now works at NASA Ames Research Center. So she's a scientist. She's very qualified to do research. And she actually cured her own son of autism through homeopathy, and she wrote a book about it. And the book actually gets accolades from a lot of medical doctors. The Impossible Cure, which I found it on Amazon for like $15, The Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy, provides an in-depth and exciting account of the history, philosophy, and experience of homeopathic medicine. At the core of Impossible Cure is the amazing story of how the author's son was cured of autism with homeopathy. It also includes dozens of other testimonials of homeopathic cure for a variety of physical, mental, and emotional conditions. Impossible Cure will serve as an invaluable guide to anyone interested in learning more about this intriguing form of healthcare. It has won endorsements from leading experts in alternative healthcare, including Larry Dossey, medical doctor, who is the executive editor of Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine, and author of Healing and Words. Bernard Rimlin, who is a PhD scientist, he's the director of Autism Research Institute. Wayne Jonas, medical doctor, director of the Samuli Institute, and formerly director of the Office of Alternative Medicine, and then it goes on. So she has a lot of accolades. I looked at the inside cover. There's other medical doctors that actually endorse this book, which is surprising because usually a book on homeopathy or Chinese medicine is not endorsed by medical doctors, and she has a lot of medical doctors that have actually endorsed this book. So I'm excited. I'm actually going to get it. But one of the other sites that I had seen that talked about probiotics and enzymes, drinking water as opposed to sodas, cleaning up the diet, things like that, even including the one that talked about the music therapy, did talk about homeopathy. Almost every site that I went on that talked about using natural cures for autism and Asperger's talked about using homeopathy, which means you would have to go to a naturopathic doctor and get a homeopathic regimen, and it's usually just pellets. That's what the homeopathic remedies are. It's either tinctures or pellets, and what they do is they customize it to the individual because no two autistic children or adults are going to have exactly the same issues to deal with. So what they do is they customize a protocol based on that person's triggers and where they're high-functioning and not high-functioning. So I'm excited about getting this book. There's more to it. I'm not going to read the rest of it. But it looks like it's going to be a quite informative read.
So I think it would be beneficial for Yvonne to be able, maybe you two can talk privately and you can help her, I don't know whether she could hear everything that you said and she's driving, so she can't write everything down. So it will be nice if you can help her be able to get that book for her and her son to go over as well. I love it whenever we have any of these kind of things and they are endorsed by the medical field. I believe more and more every day the medical field is understanding and seeing the worth of some of the things that probiotics. I mean, now every other commercial, if it's not about some drug that are going to give you all the side effects, it's about probiotics. And it always tickles me because they'll have one of those on and then they'll talk about probiotics and there's no side effects with a probiotic. Amusing.
Right.
And yet we still use, we still dabble in the use of all the other things. Of course, that's what I'm worried about with the baby right now because, I mean, one of the antibiotics he's getting makes his tears, his saliva, his urine, and his feces orange.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's bright red when it goes into the IV. It's bright red. And I the first time I saw it, I thought, that's probably the same kind of dye that they put in baby Tylenol. And I just had to let go of it because you can only fight one battle at a time. So, Monica, would you like to take off where you were in the middle of when Shell started her story about this book? Do you have something else to add?
Basically, just to reiterate, it's all about the gut and the what you're feeding the child. And since he does like to read, if he was to read this article by that's on the Weston A. Price Foundation about the GAPS diet, he would see immediately some of his symptoms of not being able to focus in class and social interaction, any problems he's having there. Why are kids picking on him at some times? But then she also said that he's very popular. I don't know if that was popular with the teachers or with certain classmates. But it still comes down to the gut. And by changing the gut and including probiotics and some enzymes and some better food choices, definitely organic, stay away from any toxins whatsoever, you might start seeing a difference in as little as, like my cousin, in as little as 2 weeks, you could see a difference. This is not, 6 months down the road, you might see something. No, it happens pretty quickly. So, and there's other things that you can do besides getting a pill that's called a probiotic at your health food store. I mean, fermented cabbage, fermented carrots, you do it yourself. It's easy to do. Kombucha, water kefir, the milk kind of kefir, those things you could do at home yourself. And it's not expensive, and it's easy. And those all provide the probiotics that everybody needs, not just an autistic or Asperger's child. Everybody needs those probiotics to combat the toxins that we are bombarded with daily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
another remedy that's highly effective for anybody, but again, it's part of this protocol I was reading about, is box flower remedies. One of the other sites I found is called Cease Therapy and Homeopathy. And again, a lot of all the naturals, they always tie in the homeopathy. But Cease Therapy was developed by a Dutch physician, and it stands for Complete Elimination Autism Spectrum Expression. And this Dr. Smith helped over 300 children with autism prior to him passing away. And his protocol include many different forms of homeopathy, all different types of therapies, nutrition. He does talk about probiotics and enzymes, making sure that you keep the diet free of MSG, artificial sweeteners. He even talks about GMOs in this article. He says make sure you don't feed your child anything that's genetically modified. And he goes on to not only what is good on the diet, but what you should eliminate from the diet. And then he talks about Bach flower remedies. He used that in his therapy. He said, generally speaking, the most common Bach flower remedies used to manage symptoms of ADHD are the rescue remedy, cherry plum, vervain, crabapple, and walnut. And obviously, you would have to go to a naturopathic doctor to find out which potencies and how often to use them in and what combinations, because you might start out with rescue remedy and cherry plum and then not use them anymore and go to crabapple and walnut, because they each help with a different symptom that arises through the ADHD or autism spectrum. So, but these are the most commonly used, because there's 32 different Bach flower remedies. These, I think, five or six that are mentioned here are the most commonly used for autism and ADHD. So that kind of puts an end run around this, where you're talking about nutrition, gut health, homeopathy, drinking water, cleaning up the diet, and now bringing in the probiotics, enzymes, and even the use of box flower remedies.
Okay, let me click you back in, and so that you can answer some of these things or address some of these things. I don't know. Are you there, dear?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. What do you think of what the ladies have shared so far? I'm sure some of them you've already touched on because you've done so much research. And I think from what you said early on, you are aware of a lot of them. I think the book would be an awesome idea, especially since your son is willing to read and research himself. Do you have any thoughts on what the ladies have said to you?
No, it's actually given me a little light at the end of the tunnel and a new direction. So I'm pretty excited about bringing Wesley in and us working as a team on doing our research and different things like that. I'm gluten-free. I can't handle gluten. And so we are both working together on our diet. So I think bringing – and you know how kids are. Well, mom doesn't know everything. So I think by bringing someone else, a book, research, and start doing that, that will help us a lot. I'm actually really excited about it, and I can't wait to get started with them. So.
Well, and I agree with you, especially with the 12-year-old, because they're right on the cusp of of becoming more grown up, and it sounds like he's in the same place as any other 12-year-old would be, the world between, do I want friends or do I want good grades? Do I want to keep mom happy or do I want to get a lot of attention in school? It's a tough place to be in, even when you got no challenges. And I think that
you comparing him to a normal child makes me feel really, really great. I have that post-traumatic stress. I always go back to, is it the autistic behavior, you know, and what do I do? So hearing that this is something that 12-year-olds go through gives me a lot of comfort.
Oh, my gosh, honey, please. They you know, there are some days when I have a house full. I have a 7-year-old, they're all grandchildren. I have a 7-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 21-year-old that all live here with me. And even the 21-year-old sometimes comes in here in my office. We are very, very close. And he'll say things to me, and I'll look at him and think to myself, oh, my gosh, are you still struggling with that? And then I realize, what the hell, so am I. You know? So it's not easy today with all the answers that are followed by a million more questions. So
exactly.
You are doing an awesome, awesome job, it sounds like to me. Don't you think so, girls? I mean, it sounds like you are the mom that everybody dreams about having. You are there. You are participating. You are being a part of his world. And right now, he probably doesn't see them as big a challenges as you do because he's more accepting of who he is inside because he's the one who's in there. So you're struggling because you do the comparisons. And for me, he sounds like he's, you know, he's right out there with all the rest of them. I'm sad that the kids pick on him, but I will tell you that kids pick on each other all the time when there's no when there's no issues. So, and we talk about that on the show constantly.
The bullying had nothing to do with autism. It had to do with some inappropriate things that the children were doing during the summer, and I called them out on it. And then, that's where the bullying came from. And it was very hard. And we've had a lot of life changes in the last year, moving from Washington State to Florida, family issues.
Wow, yeah, that's a biggie.
Yeah, and a lot of family issues. So we've had a lot of change, which is hard on book people and really hard on him. So.
I'm inviting another caller in who's been listening and just asked to be heard. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Nina, Shelley's sister. Hi, everybody.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I just wanted to let everybody know, and hi, Yvonne.
Hello.
She's my wonderful boss. Hello. What a wonderful show. Everybody has covered, and this is so timely. I mean, I'm standing in Publix the other day, and a conversation where the woman was crying because they were going to institutionalize her son for autism, a young child. And Yvonne made a very poignant comment to me when we were discussing the show yesterday. These children are not throwaway children. There are therapies out there that is perfect for each child. And you just have to be steadfast and find what's perfect for your child. And, you know, through love and patience and understanding. And Yvonne firsthand knows, you know, bruises. I mean, her child is very, very violent. And look at him now. I mean, Wesley and Rini, you kept on referring to him as a normal 12-year-old. And that just, Yvonne was tickled by that comment. I just wanted to say that the therapies, they're out there. The you know, it's all about the gut. It's out there. And the show here just put it all on the map for quite a few people. And I just love you all. And Yvonne, thank you for participating. Monica, Shelley, oh my God, your research, spectacular. And Rini, what can I say? You were just, thank you so much for all you do.
Well, thank you, sweetie. And I think that the I think this is going to be the way of the world. I think we're learning finally how to hold hands and to work through things on as a group instead of everybody feeling like they're alone all the time. There's nothing that is more frustrating to a mom who thinks she's on the journey because nobody else cares whether she saves her son or not. So hopefully she knows that's not true anymore, and she understands that there's a lot of us out there who can see being in a store, being in a Walmart, Publix, a Winn-Dixie, any place. You see things like this all the time. I have a young man who grew up with all my kids, and one of his children is autistic, and we were all at a gathering recently, and he said, we take turns. I said, how come you never come as a foursome? They have two kids and the husband and wife. He said, we can't, Reen. We learned a long time ago that it's too stressful. And that just, like, broke my heart in half. And I said, well, he's welcome to my house whenever you all want to come. I don't care how stressful it is for the rest of us. We can all deal with it. Please come, all four of you. So it is important that there's some acceptance and some understanding and some empathy. And, of course, we need this across the board. So I want to thank all of you, too, for, I mean, the research. You're right, the girls are awesome. I said to somebody yesterday, I said, I'm starting to call the Wednesday show the Friendly Witch Doctor show because they've done so much research, and they're both so good at understanding what they read, and I think that they're both invaluable in that regard. So, Yvonne, you are welcome to call the show whenever, ever you like. Wednesdays is always about health, but sometimes we talk about this in another light, and it may help you to know that you're not by yourself, honey. You're just absolutely, positively not by yourself.
I realized that a long time ago. I used to drive down the roads and say, gosh, there's got to be more people out there like me that are going through these things. And there is. And I always say it takes a tribe to raise a family. And
yes,
it does.
It does. Yes, it absolutely
Can
does.
Can I make another suggestion for Yvonne?
Sure.
Which I didn't get a chance to touch on. For yourself, Yvonne, and for your son, check into magnesium deficiency. He is probably magnesium deficient. 80% of the population is. And for yourself, if you get stressed out at all because of this situation, it's an easy fix. Get some Epsom salts. Take an Epsom salt bath at night before bed, one or two cups in hot bath water, as hot as you can stand. Sit in there for at least 30 minutes. It is the calming mineral, and it will help both of you. I put a lot of this on my Facebook page about magnesium therapy and also about the GAPS diet. So you really need to check into magnesium deficiency. You're going to see a lot of your symptoms and your son's symptoms there.
Now,
that's good information.
Allergic to Epsom salt. He can't have Epsom salt. That was one of the therapies that my therapist, who they used to call the witch doctor, would suggest. But he cannot handle that at all. Now, that's something that I would do if, yes, I do have stress days, and I should be doing my Epsom salt bath.
Okay, then if he can't have Epsom salts, get him magnesium glycinate. You can buy it at the health food store, and it's a capsule. Probably
okay,
the
great.
Epsom salt is to the tactile issue. It does make your skin kind of itchy and tingly, and that's what probably bothers him. It would bother a lot of autistic kids. So get the capsule and get him some magnesium into his system, and that will really help him.
Okay, perfect. That's another thing he was on when he was a child. So I think I'm going to go back and start relooking at some of the things that we used to do when he was younger and start doing them again. I think we're at that point. Yeah.
Well, like I said, it sounds like you're doing an amazing job already, but I do think it's nice to get input from people who have done all the research that the ladies have done. And that's you have a lifelong journey, as do most of us, by the way. I still, I have four kids and all the grandchildren and now the great-grandchildren, and there's stuff with somebody every day. So caring and being there are the two main components, and you're there. So I think Wesley has a really, really good chance to be everything he wants to be. On that note, I'd like you to know that Wesley it's okay if a day comes when he would like to speak to someone on the outside and just talk a little bit and maybe unload. He is always welcome to call me.
Well, you know, I'm trying really hard to find him a counselor. I have had a hell of a time. And I can't find one that gets where we've been and what we've done and without making light of it. And it's every week, Mom, have you found anybody for me to go talk to? Mom, and with the Florida state law, we were going to do video conferencing and start seeing the counselors and things from up north, but we can't do that legally. So,
really? I wonder why.
Well, they have to take a class in order to be able to, it's called practicing in a different state is what it is. So if they're actually counseling me or Wesley on the autism or just counseling, they have to take classes and they have to get a license to practice in the state of Florida.
Wow.
I'm not
licensed to do anything like that. My input would be strictly like a grandma. I would be able to hear and just maybe commiserate a little bit and support very much like you do. I am not a licensed therapist. I am a life therapist, you might say, and kind of my life has taken me to many, many places. And I think that sometimes it's not about somebody analyzing, it's just about somebody listening. And that's what I'm offering to you and to Wesley, and I would love to be able to do that for you if he's at all interested in just having an ear that is unbiased and will just listen. He's always welcome to call me.
Well, thank you for that. I might take
you're welcome.
Okay.
And I think that it's important for all of us to have the ear of someone else who's not in the thick of things. And I think that a young man like Wesley, he may have stuff that he's not even really sure, as close as you two are, that he should be saying to you. That doesn't surprise you, I'm sure. So,
no.
You know, sometimes it's just nice to know. Does he have grandmas and stuff like that? Are there grandmas around?
Well, like I said, we've had family issues, and when we moved here, they stopped all contact with us, everyone in the family. And he has no, his dad is a deadbeat dad, and no, so he doesn't, I used to have a family of men at the place I used to work at that he would talk to and things like that. But I'm the one that has to follow their son talk with him. And he'll sit there and blush and go, Mom. And I'm like, well, we need to have these conversations. He needs to. So finding someone that he feels comfortable with right now is very difficult. He doesn't, he has a hard time trusting men because of the things that have happened with his dad and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have yet to find anybody that isn't comfortable with telling me everything. So the door is open to you. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Nina and Shelley can both give you my cell phone, my home phone, whatever you'd like, and I'm more than happy to do that for you. However, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody. It was an awesome show today. I hope there were listeners that were assisted in their journey as well. I want to wish everybody an awesome day today. The sun is shining here in South Florida. We are so blessed with our weather when the rest of the world is in turmoil. So everybody go out there and have a great, great day. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you all. Bye-bye.